Save big money on your outdoor project now at Menards. We have everything you need to keep your outdoor power equipment running smooth, so you can keep that lawn in tip-top shape or enjoy some time on your boat. Right now, all FVP, lawn and garden, and marine batteries are on sale through May 5th. Check out our entire selection of FVP batteries today and view our weekly flyer on Menards.com for more great deals. Save big money
at Menards. It's Friday, July 14th, and you're listening to the Geek News Central Podcast. Hey, everyone, I have a great show for you tonight. Lots of great content, and boy, oh, boy, let's have fun, all right? So strap in. Here it comes.
This is the Geek News Central Podcast, part of the Tech Podcast Network. If it's tech, it's here. So grab a cup of coffee, take a seat, and crank up that volume. Because you're listening to Todd on the Geek News Central Podcast.
Aloha, everyone, and welcome to the Geek News Central Podcast, which is sponsored by GoDaddy.com. Hey, how's everyone doing? I'm glad you're with us, and I've got a great show lined up for you tonight. I'm pretty excited about some of the stuff I've got to talk to you about. And are you ready for the weekend? I know that I am. It's been a very, very productive week. Just unbelievably productive. And I'm actually looking forward to a little bit of a disconnect time this weekend, spending time with my wife and my son, getting ready for my kids to come home on the 19th. Anna and Ray will be back. Matter of fact, Ray flies in from Japan in the morning, and then Anna flies in. She leaves out of Chicago to in Honolulu in the afternoon, so they'll be back. And, of course, a couple of days getting to settle around for some jet lag. But I'm actually going to take off on vacation starting on the 20th. I'm actually going to take about a week, maybe 10 days total. I'm still going to do the shows, and I'll still be engaged because we've got a lot of stuff going on, so I can't really step away from the old computer too much, but I'll be home. That's the main thing. We may go camping for a couple of days, and I'm really, really looking forward to that. But more importantly, I want to thank all of you for being part of the family here, being part of the Ohana. And for those of you that are checking out the show for the very first time, make sure you get over to geeknewscentral.com. Check out all the great content over there. Of course, click on the podcast link to be able to get access to the archive podcast, along with signing up for our newsletter. And you can find that in the second column of the website. It says on there, it says podcast newsletter. That's a one-way, basically an announcement from the show notes. I'll send that out to the people that are subscribed to that list. But what a week. I'm going to tell you, what an amazing week. It started off with all the craziness going on last week, and then things kind of settling down. But I will say, I want to give a credit where credit's due. You know, Podshow did go out, and they made their changes to their site, and made a lot of podcasters much, much happier. They went and kind of changed the links on some of those misleading graphics, and they also updated the RSS feeds, of course, so that it didn't they weren't doing what they weren't supposed to. And so they've been listening to the community, which credit on them. But anyway, well, good luck with them on their site, and we'll see what happens from here on out. Just talking a little bit about what's been happening here. My wife is the ultimate. She is the ultimate bargain. She's able to score bargains when when there's bargains not to be had. And she had been keeping an eye out on a specific type of massage chair. Have you guys seen these? Massage chairs, you know, you go into like Sharper Image or any of the other major department stores, and they've got these nice Panasonic massage chairs. You know, those things are like $5,000. You sit down in them, and boy, it's just absolutely relaxing. Well, we had actually messed around with one in Vegas. It's called an iJoy, believe it or not. And had actually, for the price, we were pretty pleased with its, what it would do. And she came home, Tuesday night. She says, "Hey, I've got a discount coupon for this specific store, and they're on sale. I'm like, well, are they going to let you combine a coupon with a sale? She goes, I don't know. I'm going to find out. She called them, and they said, oh, yeah, we'll let you take the coupon, and we'll allow you to also have the, you know, the sale price. And we went down there and scored this iJoy massage chair at an unbelievable price. So I've been enjoying that here in the house over the last couple of days. And I just smile every time I see that thing because I'm thinking, man, it would cost this much and we brought it home for this. You know, I'm very, very happy. How many of you have wives that are like that? I'm sure many of you, you know, I don't, you know, I guess I get excited when I get coupons for geeky stuff, you know, or discounts at my favorite, some of my favorite retailers. But she just seems to be able to find this stuff all the time. And next week is her birthday. Now, she's kind of saying, well, this is going to be my birthday present. But ladies, have you gotten something very, very unique, something very cool that was kind of off the shelf, you know, just something that you didn't totally expect but you really, really like? Well, being her birthday's next week and she's doing all the great things for, you know, just taking care of, just, you know, being an absolutely outstanding wife, can any suggestions for me? Any cool things? I've been racking my brain trying to figure out what's something I can get her that is something not the norm. And if you've got any suggestions, I would definitely, definitely appreciate it. So you can send those comments or your suggestions to geeknews@gmail.com. Now, today I posted a couple of posts on my website that I think many of you are going to be interested in. And the only reason for it is because there was a Nielsen report that came out that talked about podcast demographics. And the more I read this article, the more I just kind of shook my head and said, where are they getting their information for this? I've seen a lot of data across multiple shows. I know what downloads are. I know what, you know, specific demographics are for specific types of shows, you know, just because I've had a lot of exposure to this stuff and I'm working with a lot of different people. So I decided to go ahead and kind of unprecedented release a great deal of the demographic data for this show. And I wanted to cover it real quick with you just so that you know who you are, but I'm going to confirm to you who you are through this this reading. Now, you may fall outside of some of these numbers, but 3,700 of you have responded to the survey request that we had earlier. I guess it was back in March, February, March, April time frame. And this is kind of what the results ended up being. 92% of you have listened to 6 or more shows. 84% of you listen to each new episode. 77% of you listen to the entire show. And 65% of you listen to this show on a portable media device like an iPod or, you know, an MP3 player. On a scale of 1 to 10, where 10 is extremely satisfied and 1 is extremely dissatisfied, the overall satisfaction was 8.52 for the show. So I want to thank you for that great rating. Age breakdown. Here's some very interesting statistics. Under 18, 4%. 18 to 24, 5%. 25 to 34, 25%. 35 to 44, 28%. 45 to 54, 22%. And probably the most astounding stuff, 55 to 64, 12.5%. 65 to 74, 2.7%. And 75 and older, 0%. So if you're 75 or older and listening to the show, I'd love to hear from you. I really would. Predominantly male listeners, 93% of you are male listeners, but I'm pretty happy having the 7% of the listeners being ladies. That just proves to me that that you're all engaged. And I think for a geeky tech show, I think we do pretty good there. Education levels, and it varies here everywhere from 35% of you having a 4-year college degree, 17% with master's, 3% with doctorates. Some of you have other type of professional degrees, MD, LLB, et cetera, 6%. There are, according to the survey, 0% that are actually do not have a high school diploma. Now, combined incomes, range. Probably the medians fall between, oh gosh, probably 40 to, believe it or not, $149,000 in incomes. 80% of you work full time. 6% of you are students. Let's see here, what else? 64% of you are married. 66% of you own a home. 92% of you have shopped online. That does not surprise me, in the last 30 days. And 39% of you have spent $800 or more online in the past 12 months. So, of course, this all the details are up on geeknewscentral.com, but I thought I'd just give you some insight into, you know, the show and also the actual demographics on the show. And it gives you, some of you that may be podcasters, give you some ideas. You guys can do some comparisons. All right. Also this morning, I got an email from this site called rsscash.com. And they said, hey, this is informing that your Feed a Geek News Central podcast has been added to our online service. Well, you can see, read all about it. They're another RSS feed hijacker. I'm not real happy with them. I sent them essentially a strong-worded email. And an email was replied late this afternoon saying they're going to comply and remove the feeds on their service for all of our domains and will not put anything more on there as well. Big announcement by Microsoft and Yahoo that they are going to be forming a partnership essentially, and they're going to bridge their instant message clients so that essentially you'll be able to use your Microsoft IM or your Yahoo, whatever you're on, and crosstalk across those two different communities. This is huge, folks. This is a big win for those of us out here that are, you know, don't have, you know, how many of you got five different IM accounts? Well, this may give you an opportunity to, you know, just, you know, sit on one a little bit more than the other. Hey, before we get going too far here, let's take care of a little money, let's save you some money. Why get a domain name when you can get it all? Register your domain name with GoDaddy.com, the number one domain register worldwide, and get free hosting with a website builder, a free blog, and complete email, and much, much more. Now, here's a kicker. Plus, as a Geek News Central listener, you can use the code GEEK5, that's G-E-E-K-5, and save an additional 15% off purchases of $20 or more. Okay, thanks for GoDaddy for being a sponsor here at the Geek News Central podcast. And of course, wouldn't be a show without talking about GoToMeeting. We're planning on a week from Saturday. Actually, is that the right date? Let me look here on my little calendar. Actually, it is, 2 weekends from now. On the 29th, we're going to be having our next roundtable, and it's probably going to be a lot about video. So if you are interested in listening to some professionals talk about how they edit video, some of the tools they use, some tips and tricks. That's what we're going to have. Of course, that event's going to be sponsored by GoToMeeting. So you're going to be able to see those sessions live and interactive. And you'll be able to, you know, just sit in front of your PC and watch what we have on going on our PCs. And you won't have to, really work too hard to do it. Just load the application up. And you'll see it's really a cool, cool tool. But you can try GoToMeeting free for 30 days. No credit card is required. Just visit GoToMeeting.com/tech podcast. And again, no credit cards required. GoToMeeting.com/tech podcast. Thanks for GoToMeeting for being a sponsor over there on the roundtable. Okay, let me get into, boy, I have got a great lineup of an additional types of news, comments, you name it. We've got it tonight. You've been traveling lately? Been flying out of Houston by chance? Think about this for just a second. All right, here's a gentleman walked up to a screening area, TSA screening area. He put his shoes in the conveyor belt, and he put his bag in the tray, and they asked him if he had a laptop, and he said, nope, I don't have one. And they run it through the scanner, and they saw something that didn't quite look right. So they did a secondary screening on his bag, and what they found was a clock with a 9-volt battery taped to it. Okay, now, some of us have smashed clocks, and we've broken stuff, and maybe have to tape it to the side, okay? But he's got a 9-volt battery taped to it, and he's got a copy of the Quran inside his bag. And also, when they examined his shoes, they determined that the entire soles of his both shoes were gutted out. No explosive material was detected. They summoned a police officer to talk to the man. They examined his identification and then cleared him to get on the airplane. Got a clock with a battery, with shoes that are hollowed out, and they let him get on the airplane. What in the world? Was this guy just pushing some, you know, was he trying to, you know, cause some trouble? Was he doing that to get a reaction? Anyways, the FBI has become involved, and they haven't given too much further details except to say that somebody at the TSA at Houston has been sent to a desk job, as well they should. But he is allowed to board an aircraft, and he appeared to have bomb-type components. So scary, really, really scary. All right, how many of you, I'm sure many of you guys out there and ladies are die-hard barbecuers. Now, some of you probably just absolutely say, I'm a coal type of guy. I don't use gas and propane. But how many of you out there have propane tanks? And how many of you times you picked up the propane tanks? Oh, it's got enough gas in it. And you hooked it up to a grill or whatever, and you've gotten 5 minutes into cooking and the gas has run out. I'm sure it's happened to all of us. I'm sure many of you have extra tanks. But they've got a tank now that has clear walls so you can see how much propane you've got left in it. This is really, really cool. I did not know that they could do such. You know, it's a pressurized tank, and you can actually see how much propane is still in this tank. And it's not just like a small peep window. It's huge. Really cool. Really, really cool. I could have used one of these a few times. Now, I don't know how much this thing's going to cost, but hey, I'm sure a lot of people are going to get a kick out of having it because you'll be able to see exactly how much propane you have. I guess this year has been, we can kind of chalk it up to being the year of crazy legislation that's been, you know, essentially in the work. A lot of it has not gotten through its committees. Some of it has gotten through in past, you know, just. And it's between the RIAA and the telephone companies, you know, there's just a lot of stuff going on. Well, there's a telco bill that's not being allowed to move forward without an audio flag. And if you remember what the audio flag is that legislatures are actually the RIAA and MPAA wants to have a flag be able to be set so that when data comes into a device, that the device automatically says, or actually restricts the recording of that content. And there's a bill by Senator Stevens. It's a reform bill. It's concerning network neutrality. And this bill is being stopped to move forward because of apparently Senator Frist doesn't think you should be able to record satellite radio paid for or any other type of data. That would be recorded on any other device. It would be forced to have this audio flag technology included. So he's demanding that this telecom reform bill, unless it's going to, the only way it's going to move forward is if it has this audio flag technology. So essentially what's going to happen here is the bill's just going to be dead. It's going to be killed right there. So, you know, they're doing everything they can to make it, you know, to take your fair use rights away. And, you know, this just moves right into another article that talks about how long is it going to be that the RIAA is going to get to abuse the legal system. The RIAA, I believe for the very first time, has dropped its file-sharing suit against an Oklahoma woman who had no connection to such activities beyond paying an ISP bill. So the case was dropped, and apparently the RIAA is going to have to pay her legal fees. But, you know, they're going to have to stop these bullying tactics, and it's quite dubious on them and what they're doing. And, you know, they're essentially steamrolling people. You know, they're rolling over on them, and you pay or else. And I'm glad to see that this woman has stood up, was able to state her case, and get it thrown out. Too bad we don't have more of these. But, you know, how long is the RIAA going to get to abuse the legal system? Or a little bit of history, a little bit of problem in history. Now, today, here I am. I'm getting ready to read you an article. And I use FeedDemon to have tab browse on different, and this is the second time I've seen this on a different site. I'm on /dot right now, and as soon as I opened up the tab, this big, huge, I mean huge ad, about half the page covers it up for Visual Studio 2005. This just makes me mad. It really, really does that they do that. All right, I finally got rid of it. Does that drive you nuts? You go to a website and you get one of those big, huge ads. Makes you never want to come back to the site. All right, /dot's reporting that the Apollo 11 tapes have went missing. Apparently, back in 1969, the first TV pictures of men on the moon were recorded on 698 tapes. And they were recorded in a SSTV format, or actually on SSTV tapes, which is, these are huge, thick tapes. And what the networks actually released was in a lower quality to meet commercial TV standards. So it turns out that 698 of the 700 boxes of the original tapes have gone missing from the U.S. National Archives. Now, I'm sure the conspiracy theorists will have a lot of fun with this. But this is pretty sad, you know, that this is just an absolute monumental piece of history is gone. And hopefully they'll find this stuff. But what's even more surprising, and this is to all, you know, it just blows me away that the National Archives would not have been on the ball on this earlier. But the only area, or the only company that's able to currently read these tapes, these SSTV type tapes, is shutting down its capability to do that. So after October of this year, even if they find them, there will be no one, no commercial company that will even be, or any company whatsoever, they'll have the capability to read these SSTV tapes. I'm sure they're going to find them in 50 years, and then someone's going to have to spend millions and millions of dollars to build a machine to read these things. It's sad. It really is. And I don't know why the National Archive hasn't already digitally encoded these things. I'm sure we're going to hear more on this. We'll see what happens. And along with that, CBS News is now going to be selling vintage clips on the web. So they're going to be going back pulling like 60 minutes news footage from the 1950s, and you're going to be able to pay for it, of course. For a while, were able to buy this stuff via DVD. They'd make a custom DVD for you for like $25, but now they're going to make it available online. You'll be able to download it. Who really wants to go back and watch 1950 era's content? Who wants to watch Dan Rather broadcast the news again? Maybe Walter Cronkite. You know, he had some very classic moments, but gosh, you know, think about the coverage it was on back in those days. You know, you're talking about this Apollo 11 landing. Well, you know, the television networks were all doing live recordings at that time, so that would be kind of some cool footage to be able to own and download, and you could have it in your personal archive, a little bit of history. Some of that stuff would be cool. It really, really would. And specific interest, specific historical events. I know some of that stuff's been available for a while, but nice to be able to get it in a digital format that you can have on your computer. We'll see how long it takes before everyone else jumps on the bandwagon here. All right, the space shuttle, they've completed their third spacewalk, but while they were out there, do you guys know what FOD is? Foreign Object Damage. It's a term that's used in aviation. Typically, if you're out working on an aircraft and you take a wrench out to let's say you take 25 wrenches out to an airplane, and when you come back, you better have 25 wrenches. If you have 24, it essentially grounds the aircraft. The aircraft can't fly. You have to go back and you have to find the tool. And I've been involved in extensive searches of aircrafts before, where you literally tear the airplane apart to find a lost screw or screwdriver or whatever it may be. I remember one day working on an airplane, and I had a socket set out with a quarter-inch drive, and it was probably a 3/8-inch socket that was on the drive. And I picked the ratchet up, and the socket fell off. I must have bumped the little button that was holding the socket on. And that socket rolled right on a counter, dropped onto a floor, rolled across the floor, and there was only one hole in the aircraft flooring that this little socket could have went into, and sure enough, it dropped right in there. Well, what was bad was there was a big, huge piece of gear above that floor, and for like the next 12 hours, we had to take all this gear out. We had to take the floorboard up to just to be able to reach in and grab this. We couldn't. We tried to get it with a magnet, and it just didn't work. It was in a spot we couldn't get to. But anyway, to get what this how this relates to the shuttle, well, they had a spatula out there during one of their tests, and sure enough, the spatula came up missing. It was on a tether, but apparently the tether come undone and flew away. Now, in aviator's flight equipment, when you wear a safety survival vest, there is everything inside that vest is tethered, every piece of gear, so that if you're in the water and you unzip something and you pull out, you know, a flare or something like that, you're not going to drop it and it's not going to sink to the bottom of the ocean. Well, apparently somebody did not do a good tie job. And there's a very specific way they tie this type of stuff. So it's almost impossible for it to get off the tether, but it sure did. So now we've got a spatula that's floating out in space. And just think, it's spatula going at like 11,000 miles per hour. imagine getting hit inside the head with that. So they lost one. But that's really the extent of the excitement that happened during the three spacewalks, except, of course, they got a lot of great work done on the International Space Station. And as we reported earlier, the shuttle is cleared to come home. And that's what happened here in a few days. But yeah, I just had to relate that to you a little bit. Thought you guys could get a little comedy value out of that event. Okay, in some very interesting news, and this is something that was kind of funny. I'm driving home today, and I'm wearing my hands-free device, talking to my mom on the cell, and my mom says, "Did you hear last week on the news that that the lowest number of people have watched TV ever?" And I'm like, "Mom, I'm proud of you, because, you know, this is, I had it already queued up to talk about it tonight, because it was reported that there's a low water mark for broadcast TV viewing. And they said the week of, I believe it was July 4th, was the actual lowest number of people that have ever watched TV in recorded history. And it was actually, the previous record was set, coincidentally, in July of 2005. But it just goes to show you that more and more people are disconnecting. You know, everyone's out doing summer stuff and enjoying, you know, even this show's numbers are down during the summer. June, July, August, traditionally, numbers are down. Why do you guys think I had that big promo in June? Was to help to keep the numbers up so that we could make it through the swing, so we wouldn't lose as many, keep the stats up during this time. And I was pretty proud of her for actually getting that little piece of news, and she thought it was quite intriguing. And I said, "Well, it's just like you guys. You're out busy doing stuff in the summertime, you know, that doesn't get dark until 9:30 or 10 in the Midwest. And people want to be out. They don't want to be sitting in front of the old blue tube." And but it is showing you that there is an impact being made on these different types of media on traditional TV. So we'll see what happens. We'll see if the trend continues. I'm going to predict that it's going to continue to go down, down, down. Now, if you're in the United Kingdom, have you heard about this new proposal where they've proposed a change to copyright laws where internet service providers are going to be charged a tax anytime it's been detected that people are downloading a music illegally? It's called a kind of a music tax. I'm going to tell you something here. How far are these folks going to go? This is the most ill-conceived, absolutely desperate grasp that the recording industry has made yet. Okay, since we can't sell in stuff in stores, and because we're overpriced, And because we can't control P2P, okay, I got it. We're going to charge a tax to the internet service providers based upon how much peer-to-peer traffic they have going on and people are sharing files. I'm telling you, the craziness continues. Now, I'm sure we're going to get, I'm sure we're going to see more of this. Now, digital rights activist Cory Doctorow says, the music industry wants to make ISPs liable for traffic they carry and sue them if they don't take action to police their users. The only way to accomplish such a policing is to throttle, spy, and firewall out potentially infringing traffic. An incredibly invasive regime that has no basis in international copyright or telecommunications law. So this is crazy. It really, really is. And you know, those of you there in the UK, you know, you better call those people in the political process that you have connections with and say, no, this is stupidity. Stop. Stop it now. All right, there's a new website that is launched. It's called Dandelife, D-A-N-D-E-L-I-F-E. And this is a fascinating site. It's a social biography network. And it's going to be launching this week. Users are going to be able to tell their life stories with text, photos, videos, and timelines. And a part of the business model that they have is that they are going to, as people add data to Dandelife, if your story is compelling, you may be able to get a movie deal, a book deal, you know. So, you know, this is just basically putting your life on parade and then them commercializing your life. So there's another company out there called OurStory.com is similar. And they got some VC funding as well, $6 million. But I got this article off TechCrunch saying the functionality is great. And I'm looking at the interface. It looks pretty cool. So, you know, you can talk about stories throughout your life. And it's pretty cool. And maybe a way for, you know, I'd like to do this, but privately. You know, someday, how many of you have written your own biographies already? I'd be curious. How many of you keep a log of it? I'm kind of using a private blog to kind of do this information. But I don't know, in 50 years, are my kids going to want to go back and read it? Who knows? But, you know, will this site be around in 50 years? Here's the key. And we've been talking about this a lot over at Blueberry as well, at Blueberry, BlueBrry.com, is that we want to make sure that people are able to take their data with them. So that, you know, they're not locked in, and if, you know, they want to take their friends and they want to take their comments, they can take it with them. This site has got to have the same type of functionality where you'll be able to, should, you know, hopefully they've got it designed so that you can export your data. You know, let's say you take, you know, all the time to put all this information in, and then they run out of money and they go away, then you're really, you know, you've wasted a lot of time. So we will see. We'll see what they do here, and I think it's important as users that we make sure that we let companies know that, you know, if we're going to put data in, our personal data like this, our attention data, that we want to be able to take that data with us when we leave. So check this out. Check the site out, dandelife.com. It's in beta. All right, probably the most amazing news of the night. It's being reported that the Skype protocol has been cracked. There was a prediction made that the protocol would have been reverse engineered sometime this year, and it looks like reports out of China is that it has been. Now, this has got massive ramifications for Skype. Now, those of you that use Skype right now, you may not know it or not, but if you've got a really good internet connection, anytime your Skype connection is online, you can actually become like what's called a supernode. Traffic can be routed through you. You know, let's say you've got somebody in your neighborhood that's going to make a Skype call. You've kind of been designated as a super node. When he makes a call, it bounces through you to get to that area. And it's primarily for people that are on Skype that have pretty thick pipes. Well, what this does, this new application, is going to eliminate the ability of Skype to be able to use that technology. And they've got an actual... at least in this image that they have up, I don't know how much validity there is to it. They've actually got an application that's going to replace the Skype you know, this current Skype application you have on your desk. It won't allow that super node type of capability to go through. You know, Skype has taken a lot of heat on that. As a matter of fact, I was dealing with a listener on Skype this week. He was saying, how do I stop this thing? You know, I see I'm registering all this traffic coming through my router. You know, it's going in, it's going out. My system's being hacked. I'm like, no, you've probably been designated as a super node. And there's nothing you can really do unless you quit using Skype. And he was scrambling. He was trying to figure out how to do it. But if you block it, then you've essentially blocked incoming and outgoing for your calls anyway. So, you know, that's the price of using this type of technology right now. And, you know, hopefully, you know, some of you like it. I love Skype. And they can use my bandwidth. I don't care. And it's, you know, I've already paid for it. But I would like to be able to have some sort of a device or some sort of a software application that would do this for podcasts. Let's do peer-to-peer on a podcast and funnel stuff through and share the load for delivering all this great content. It doesn't have to be just audio. It could be videos, everything. So, but, you know, these manufacturers have been reluctant to do that. Now, you know, there's been a couple of licensing deals with BitTorrent recently with some music distribution. This ought to be the sign for Apple iTunes, for Microsoft Windows Media Player, for Juice, which is the transfer client that a lot of podcast listeners use, Doppler, all these other great podcatchers. Let's get it built into the podcatcher so that you don't have to have a separate BitTorrent client to do it. It needs to be seamless and easy. And you know, if they can do this, if these Chinese can go in and build this a client like this, you know, someone in this community can go out and get set up to do BitTorrent easily. And, you know, because I'm telling you, the bandwidth situation is only going to get worse. Hopefully, bandwidth gets cheaper before it gets worse, but we'll see. We really, really will. Excuse me, I'm sniffing my nose in your ear. All right, movable type, version 3.3 is on the street. Official announcement came out today, and I did not participate in the beta, but I'm looking through all the feature changes. Wow. There is a massive, massive, massive change list. The upgrade price is a little bit pricey, but, you know, if you are a personal blog, non-commercial, it's free. For sites like mine, it's commercial. I'm going to have to shell out some money, so I have to make a decision whether or not I'm going to upgrade and see how this new version looks and works. You know, I had talked about going to WordPress, but I had very little success in finding anyone that could do all the functionality that we have on Geek News Central and some of the functions that we're using on that website to get it integrated and look exactly the same. So that was one of the reasons we haven't switched. And I was also given movable type time to come out with 3.3 after we had complained and complained and complained. But they have a press release up. They've got a change list up. It's pretty extensive. So if you're a movable type user, get over there, check out 3.3, and I'll probably install it this weekend if I get time. Maybe give them a little time to work the bugs out. Those of you that are on Earthlink, they have a new RSS reader. It's called My Earthlink Reader, and you can find it at reader.earthlink.net. You have to have they do have a free access too. So it says register for free, so you're able to get on and use it and not even be an Earthlink user. That's amazing. I didn't think they were going to do that, but they did. So check it out. All right, Robert Scoble's got a post up that says, Eric Rice and me riff on the future of media. And this is a pretty cool podcast that Alex Williams recorded at Gnomedex. So I'm going to give you a recommendation to go over there and check it out. Now, speaking of which, a lot of you have been asking for more info on Gnomedex. Well, Chris Brillo is going to start releasing the audio for all of the Gnomedex sessions on his site, and you can find it at the Chris Brillo Show, and I'll put a link up to it in the show notes, so make sure you get us subscribed to his show feed over there, his RSS feed, so that you'll be able to get all the Gnomedex sessions downloaded and into your podcatcher or iTunes, whatever you may be using, so that you'll be able to get those sessions and listen to them, and a lot of them are really worth it. It's great, great content. And I hope that I hope you guys check it out. Okay, the looks like those of you that are living in France, Canada, Germany, Italy, Holland, Poland, and the UK are now able to use the Google Video. So, you know, YouTube may have a huge advantage here, but Google is definitely going after that market in a big way. We'll see how the adoption rate takes up. You know, I spent the other night, probably I have really not played with YouTube very much, but because we're getting a lot of videos over on a video podcast over on, or video cast, I should say, over on Blueberry, I decided I really needed to kind of get up to speed and see how a lot of these videos are being put up, what they, and they're actually what YouTube does, and I wish we had the money to be able to do it, was they convert every one of the videos that is uploaded into QuickTime format, and so you don't have to worry about multiple different types of encoding. And that's something we're seeing over at Blueberry, is we're seeing all of these different videos and different type of encoding rates, and you're trying to build a player that will play all these things seamlessly. Oh, my goodness. Now, we're going to come out with a really, really kick-butt player. As a matter of fact, it's hopefully it'll be done early next week. So we'll be able to support all the video casters over there. But, you know, I spent some time on YouTube, and some of it was quite honestly really a waste of time. You know, some podcasts are terrific. Some podcasts are bad. But I'm going to tell you, there's a lot of crap on YouTube that is absolutely 100% waste of time. So I could see if someone could channel, you know, they have a rating system and a voting system. You can go see what's most popular. But I was not super impressed. And I'm sure some of you that are YouTube users are going to send me some ideas on how I can better use the site. And what I was surprised to is I had signed in and I actually did some searches and I found some porn as well. I couldn't believe that there was actually adult material. It really wasn't porn. It was kind of softcore stuff. Found some of that on there too. So I didn't realize that they had that on YouTube as well. I guess I shouldn't be surprised, but wow, there are some seriously, seriously whacked out people out there doing some really bizarre stuff. I've seen really, really strange. That's all I can say. All right, over at Mark Canner's blog at broadbandmechanics.com. I've talked a little bit about People Aggregator already, but he's got a kind of a funny post out here. And he says, people must think I'm made of money or VC funded. And he said, we've been getting all sorts of incredible feedback and requests for our People Aggregator product. He said, that's a good thing. He says, you know, and I guess they made the source code available to anyone that's not commercial. But people are saying, well, what's going to stop us from taking your code and rewriting it and then using it as a commercial product? He's essentially saying that, you know, people are saying, well, what's to stop us from, you know, why would we pay you? And this is kind of a, he says, ha ha, good joke at the end of this article. But I think down deep, there's some concerns he has that people are going to take this code he's made available. They're going to mash it up, and then someone's going to launch a commercial product, and he is not going to get compensated. I need to talk to, I'm going to send Mark an email tomorrow on this and say, how are you going to stop people from doing this? How are you going to track it? How are you going to know? And see what he has to say here. You know, I've had a couple of people ask me to release our raw voice generator to the public. And I'm like, are you crazy? Do you know how much time we put into this? Do you know how much work we've done? You know, it's, you know, give me a really extremely good reason why I should reveal or give our code away. It just doesn't make any sense. So, you know, here they are. You know, they've spent, he said, between a $700,000 and $1 million on the code. And at least this is what Mark Canner is saying on his blog for the People Aggregator. At least that's their investment in it. So I think it's pretty risky just to open up and give the code away like that. But we'll see how they make out on this. All right, I got a bunch of stuff in Rory right 45 minutes. Hey, how many of you got some of those card readers? Have you got a card reader that's missing a few? You know, you've got some memory sticks now that won't work in it. You have to use a little conversion thing or one of those using conversion adapters. Well, now this is getting ridiculous. There's a 53-in-1 card reader out. 53-in-1. I didn't know there was 53 different formats of media now. But you can buy one, a 53-in-1. Yeah, check it out. I have a link up in the show notes. There's a new site called Twitter. And it's Twitter's allows you to stay in touch with your friends all the time. If you have a cell phone and text message, you'll never be bored again. How many of you actually do text messaging on a regular telephone? You know, I have a hard time getting two words in. But, you know, how many, unless I've got a BlackBerry or something with a keyboard, I just can't imagine how this is really going to kick off. And it's a little social type of thing for people that have for text messaging on cell phones. And that's all I really need is to get text messages on my cell phones all day. But I'll let you guys decide if you think it's cool or not. Remember, we talked about that, the SEMA Hitch USB transfer device. It's been reviewed on Engadget, and they're saying that it's got some very, very cool functionality, very simple to use, and is able to transfer audio from iPod to iPod, actually video from iPod to iPod. But it currently only works with iPods that have been formatted, PC formatted. So if you have a Mac and you've formatted your iPod using your Mac, this Hitch will not work. So fair warning before you go out there and buy. But, you know, it'll transfer a 4 megabyte song in about 6 seconds. You know, people aren't going to be transferring 10,000 songs. But I'm sure there's some people in the recording industry that are not going to be too happy with this device because, you know, it's called Sneakernet. They don't have to share media now with a disc or anything. You just got this this transfer device that's in between two iPods. So I wonder if they're going to go after an injunction to get this shut down. Anybody want to take a bet? All right, for those of you that are vision impaired, UK scientists are seeking to restore sight. And, you know, they're getting pretty amazing with some of the technology out there right now. And they're saying predicting that it's not too far off, that they're going to be able to have a device implanted that will be able to restore sight. It's going to be similar to a digital camera zoom or digital camera lens. And we'll see. We'll see what happens here with this. And I think it'd be wonderful if they could bridge that technology. You know, that's a very sensitive, tough area to work in. If they can do that, then there's going to be a lot of things that are going to be capable. Do you guys know that the Galileo GPS system is essentially a pay-for-access system? Well, it seems like that there was some folks over at Cornell who over a weekend decided that they would examine the signal from the Galileo GPS system. And they were able to, with a little bit of work, they were able to hack the signal and then basically developed an logarithm to extract the codes that are needed to give people access. So Cornell has essentially opened up the Galileo GPS system. And they're now able to, you'll be able to access that with the codes and stuff that they have been able to extract. Pretty cool. Pretty, pretty cool. What else do I have? I've got a couple. Oh, boy. And we're already at 48 minutes. We're going to be long. And I think I'll skip this one because this one, we'll cover that later. Hey, have you heard about ClickTail? Now, this to me is this is kind of technology has been around for a while, but there's a service out there now that allows people, let's say you come to a website, you're kind of moving your mouse around, you're clicking on things. This ClickTail can be installed by a webmaster, and it essentially records your every movement while you're on their site. Is that weird? Does that just give you the creeps? Now, I wonder if they're going to reveal that, if there's going to be a way to tell if that's installed on a site or not. But keep your eye out for this. And this is just like the ultimate, just creepy. It's really, really creepy. But Clicktail, I guess that's what it is, clicktail.com. MySpace, of course, is under a lot of heat by the legislatures. They're worried about all the sexual predators that are going on. It's stuff that's happening in MySpace that's endangering kids. And it looks like there's a little bit of a crackdown coming. I did see a little note today that the founders of MySpace, the parent company, I guess, is going to spend some major money to do some sort of an education campaign on TV and on radio to get parents informed of what's going on with MySpace and the dangers. So we'll see what happens with that. But it could result in legislation which would cause all social networking sites to potentially have to put some changes in place that would protect minors more effectively. Now, seeing that people are getting wise on what's going on with all this cracking going on, cracking Trojans and viruses, and people are becoming generally more smart, I say that lightly, generally, it seems to be that cyber crooks are now turning to hacking applications more than they are just hacking the computers. You know, by obtaining spreadsheets, putting bugs in web pages, all kinds of different little things that they're doing now to go after applications themselves versus the operating system, and which garners them in a backdoor into systems. So, you know, this is not surprising, but they're seeing an increase in this type of actions. Okay, for those of you that are going to the Podcast Expo, the Podcast Academy number 4 is going to be going on, and it looks like they've got a great lineup of content. I'm going to be very, very busy getting set up with our booth and everything. Then I'm not going to be participating in this academy at the expo, but it's for those. It's open for 90 attendees. It happens the day before expo starts. There's a $149 registration fee if you register before August 15th. These are going to go fast, really, really fast. So make sure that you get and register for Podcast Academy. With that, we've got Firefox 2, beta number 1 has been issued. Be very, very careful. Don't run this on nothing but a development machine or something that you're willing to take a hit on, because this is in the ultimate alpha/beta. But Firefox 2, beta 1 is available for download. Okay, the Podcast Awards nominations are going to close at 23:59 on the 15th, so I hope that all of you have gotten your nominating done. Traffic has been off the rope. It's just, unbelievable. We were seeing, still seeing heavy, heavy traffic numbers, but I think it peaked out at around 14,000 hits per hour. Slowed down a little bit since then, but the server crashed one time. Had to reboot it 2 days ago. Wow, amazing amount of traffic. We have cleared 300 podcasters over at blueberry.com, so make sure you get over to blubrry.com. Check that out. And of course, we've got a lot of great content over at Podcaster News, too. Hey, let's play this little Podcast Awards promo just as a kicker, and then we'll kick into some show comments.
Want to know who decides what the best podcast is? You do. The 2006 Podcast Awards nominations are underway.
Here's all the details.
Go to podcastawards.com right now and nominate your favorite podcasts. Categories include technology, entertainment, sports, comedy, and more. Nominate and vote for your favorite podcasts. Plus, find new ones to subscribe to today at podcastawards.com. Brought to you by Podcast Connecting, the world's leading innovator in podcast marketing.
Woohoo! I like that. Hey, I'd love to have that same promo, but doing it and say, voting is now open at. talk to me. Call me. Email me. Let's see if we can get another promo put together for the voting section, or voting coming soon, or something like that. All right, got some email comments. Got an email from Mike in Tampa, and he says, thanks for the information I put up on a podcast solution, and also gave me some very nice comments back. Hey, I appreciate your comments, Mike, and thanks for being a listener from show number 56. How long have you been listening to the podcast? What number did you join the family here with us? I want to thank Michael Pate for his nice review over at podcastnewyorkcity.net. That was a good one. Thank you. Actually, thanks, Michael Pate, for pointing me at an article over at podcastnewyorkcity.net. I do appreciate that. Also got a promo from Geek Counterpoint. We'll play that here in a second. And what else? Got an email from Carl. Hey, he said, this is kind of interesting. He said, hey, Todd, I just ran up against something I know you've had to deal with. It'd make an interesting show topic based upon pages of Google links when you type in parsing error not well formed. This is about RSS. And we're a little long tonight. What I'm going to do, Carl, is the tutorial you sent me and the information, I'm going to cover that. I'm going to have to make some time in the show to do this. But we need to talk a little bit about RSS. There's a lot of stuff I can pass on to you guys, some craziness that's been going on with some of the feeds that we've seen. And he's had a specific issue when it comes to iTunes tags and that kind of stuff. And we'll talk about that probably on the next show. I got an email from Neil. And hey, Neil, this is totally, totally cool. He said, hey, Todd, on Friday last, I was taking a car from London to Marseille near Monte Carlo for a friend. I think I hold a record for the deepest place that the GNC has been listened to. To get to Britain, to France, I use the Eurotunnel. Basically, you drive onto a train, and it takes you through this tunnel under the channel. I'm familiar with that. Of course, everyone's probably familiar with that. It is between 131 feet and 246 feet below the seabed, the deepest point at 377 feet. Of course, I had my MP3 player with me, and it's loaded with Friday's GNC and last week's worth of Slashdot review. As a train pulled out of Folkestone to enter the tunnel, GNC comes up. Bravo. Bravo, bravo, bravo. So you're listening to the GNC at the deepest level at 377 feet below the sea level. All right. Are there any submarine guys out there that listen to the show? If you are, you probably can't tell me what depth you were at, but can you tell me, did you beat the 377 feet? Okay, what else do I have here? I think I don't want to cover. Yeah, I don't want to cover that. All right, I'm good. Okay, I think that's all I've got for tonight. Wow, 56 minutes. Well, we didn't make 45 minutes tonight, did we? But I tell you what I do have. Gosh, I got a promo, and I've got some music to give away. Now, you guys remember Derek Miller? We played some of his music before. I want to play this. If I don't get to the promo because it's too long, I apologize. I'm going to play his track at the end. If you want one of, I've got some CDs to give away. I'm not going to give them all away tonight. I'll give away two. If you got a comment on the show, you got to call the voicemail hotline at 619-342-7365. 619-342-7365. Leave an audio comment about the show. And I'll hook you up with a Derek Miller Pen Machine Sessions CD, okay? First two in to the voicemail line with a legible comment. We'll get these. Otherwise, I want to thank all of you for being a part of the family and staying tuned to the show, staying subscribed. Tell your friends about the show. Get them involved. Bring them over to the GNC, to the Geek News Central podcast, and get them lined up. To listen to our great content. And at least I'm, you know, here I am saying it's great content, big head. But send your comments to geeknews@gmail.com. Again, the voicemail hotline, 619-342-7365. And we'll be back with you on Tuesday. So I want to thank all of you again for being with me. And hey, enjoy your weekend. Really, really enjoy your weekend. And, you know, to kick it off, this is kind of the mood that I was in tonight. I went through his tracks. This is track number 5, and it's called The Cold Cloth and an Ice Pack. So check this track out. We'll end it with that. We're going to go over an hour. So what? Here it comes. Here's a tune. Aloha. Take care. See you on Tuesday. Bye-bye. That wasn't just some funky type R&B type style. That's the way it is. Anyway, I'm out of here. Aloha. Take care.
Save big money now on new siding from LP Smart Side at Menards. Update and beautify your home with your choice of 13 timeless colors of pre-finished engineered siding. It's durable and includes a Sherwin-Williams factory finish paint warranty that means no painting for years to come. View our entire selection of siding from LP Smart Side today. And don't forget to check out our flyer on Menards.com for all the great deals happening now.
Save big money at